Our scripture reading, the 6th chapter, verses 51 through 58. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in him, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have some guests with us this morning. We're glad that you're with us. This morning, we'll be continuing a series of lessons. We're in the third lesson now, and this morning, we'll be looking at the words of Christ. The lesson series is called The Compelling Christ. And what I want us to think about, and part of your own study, is what are the things about Christ that are compelling to you, that are motivating to you, that have changed you and who you are? That's what we want to think about this morning. And one of the things that stands out is we've been looking at Christ. We've looked at his compassion. We've looked at his miracles, his life. This morning, we want to think about the words of Christ and how powerful they are. The songs that we've been singing this morning and right before I got up here, the wonderful words of life. Those are the words of Christ. That's why I've been led to sing that song, is to think on these things. So I've been praying, and I encourage this morning, I hope, that this message will be very encouraging to you, very useful to you. We'll be looking into Christ's words and digging in very deeply into things that he has said about his words. When you follow somebody, why is it? Why is it that so many figures, people on TV, have an influence? Why is it that people in political positions have such an influence? People hear and they follow people who they admire, they have admiration for them. Or they love them. Our spouses and our family, our parents have a huge influence on us because we love them. And yet there are some that have influence on us because of fearful expectations. In a way, every one of those should apply to our God and Creator and to Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, fear the one who can cast you body and soul into hell. Now he says, perfect love casts out all fear in 1 John. And so there is a place for fear. But most importantly, it is love and our admiration and respect for Christ and for our Creator, for God, that motivates us and compels us. When we think about this morning, I want you to think about the things that you as a Christian want to change, that you want to grow and draw closer to God. What's it going to take to be able to help you to do that? I encourage you to think on this passage right here. In John chapter 14, 23 to 24, listen to what Jesus said. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him, and make our home. We will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The authority that Jesus received coming from the Father, the words that he spoke came from God. Those words are so important. I claim to be a Christian, and I say that I love Jesus. I admire what he did upon the cross. I admire his sacrifice. I love him because he overcame death and rose from the dead. But has that changed me? You know, one way to see that it's changed me is right here. I say that I love Jesus. Am I keeping his words? We want change, and we want things to be able to grow as Christians. This is it. When I think about growing as a Christian, I want to know more about the words of Christ. I want to know more about him. And the more I know about him, the more I love him. It's hard to love somebody that you don't know. I know the Bible tells us to love our neighbor. Someone's close to us and near to us. That's what Jesus says. The Bible says also to love our enemies. Very hard to love someone we don't know. Why don't you think about that? How important the words of Christ are. This new year, we're going into a new Bible study together. On Sunday nights, we'll be having lessons that tie in to it. and tie into our chronological study, I want to encourage you this morning to be committed again to turning to the Scriptures, to the Bible, to the words of Christ. If you've drifted away, go back to the Gospels and read them. Allow Christ to change you. Those who apparently love Jesus keep his words. And we've seen that so clearly. It's apparent to us. You know, I could say I love him, but my actions must demonstrate it that I keep his words. Have you ever prayed to love Christ more? I hope that you have. I want to love him more because the more I love him, the more I'm committed. I'm committed to his words. I'm committed to the church that he bought with his own blood and died for, the Bible says. When I love Christ, I want to open my Bible. I want to meet with other Christians and I want to discuss God's word, how it's changing me, how I can pray for others, encourage others in the Scriptures. I encourage you to think about this. Pray to love Christ more. I think it's a very revealing question for us. If there's a sinful conflict in our life, it's going to revolve around this. I'm not living the way that I should because I don't love Christ the way that I should. And I'm probably not praying about loving him more and more about obeying his words. So this morning, let's recommit ourselves and allow the love of Christ that we have for him to change us, to be more committed to him. And I love this about Jesus, and this is true about his words. Every mature Christian in here will tell you this, that nothing is more satisfying spiritually than Jesus Christ. His words, his life, his miracles, his compassion. And as we're going to see his servant leadership next week and his resurrection and the hope of eternal life that comes through him, there's nothing more satisfying spiritually. I have a lot of people going around today saying, oh, I'm a spiritual person. It's hard to tell what they mean by that. Some go around saying, I have a relationship with God. But what do they mean by that? If it's not through Christ and through his words, they're making up their own way. Well, what they have is a counterfeit life, counterfeit for what is spiritual and real. Mature Christians, those that we love Christ, we know what is real. We know what can change us, what has changed us, that satisfies us like none other. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, there is none other who can feel that but than Jesus. And we have that same plea to the world. This morning, our text is John chapter 6. And we're going to look at the context here of what is going on. And we've had read already for us this morning, John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. Very intriguing words. And we're going to read the context of it right now. But the reaction to those words was that many people heard the words of Jesus at that time and that teaching about eating the flesh of Christ and drinking his blood. And I thought, this is absurd. This man saying he's the bread of heaven. They were offended by it. And the scripture says that many of them, his own disciples, left him and would never follow him anymore because of those words. Let's think about that again in John chapter 6 and look at the context here. After Jesus fed the 5,000, some came seeking Jesus to feed them again. And they go to him and they're traveling, they're looking after Jesus fed the 5,000. They travel across the sea and wonder, how, Jesus, did you get here? And they ask him this, and Jesus confronts them right away. He says, you're not here because you saw the sign, the miracle of the eating and the 5,000. What you're only here for is for the bread. You're not here for the real bread of life. And he tells them, what you need to do is to work for the bread that will not perish, that leads to eternal life. And the reaction to Jesus is, well, okay, give that to us. What work do you want us to do? He says, this is the work I want you to do. I want you to believe on the one of whom God has sent. That is the work of God, is to believe on the one of whom God has sent. And then he goes on here and he explains, you want the bread of life, you want the true bread, you want what sustains, what will satisfy, that really is, that will give you a spiritual life. He says it is in this, that I am the bread of heaven. This is Jesus' words, John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. And what life is he talking about? Well, in the context, he's talking about eternal life. He says, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly in John chapter 10. In the context of the resurrection, he says the same things. And he says, I came to give life, eternal life. I'm the bread of that life. I'm the only way you can have it. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And I can't help but think about Jesus' sermon about 2 years before in the Sermon on the Mount about those who will be blessed that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way to satisfy. He is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life to give eternal life. He reveals this. He talks about that life being resurrection on the last day. I want you to listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 6, 39 to 40. He says this, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that has been given to me, but raise it up on the last day." The word "raise" there is anastaso. It means to resurrect. He says, "I will resurrect him on the last day. And this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." What kind of eternal life is he talking about? He says, "I will resurrect, I will raise him on the last day." So we start reading right here what's been read to us this morning from John chapter 6 about partaking of Christ, eating the flesh, drinking the blood. I can't help but think of the Lord's Supper when I think of that. Jesus is talking about his death, giving his life, the only way to be satisfied spiritually. And some people will say, well, maybe he's not talking about the Lord's Supper there, and there can be some discussion about that. But I think there's too much there to overlook. Him talking about his death, him talking about his body being the bread, his blood being the true drink that's necessary and essential, and him saying that those who partake of me, who partake of these things, have eternal life. Here are some observations from our scripture reading this morning that I see. One must eat of the bread of life to live forever, to have eternal life. And I love this scripture right here. You can see it tying into everything he said. John 6, verse 54, Jesus said, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." He's emphatic about this. He continues to say throughout John chapter 6, you have eternal life when you are raised on the last day. And it's only to those who partake of this, who partake of me, who turn to me for spiritual sustenance, for nourishment. And I encourage you this morning, if you've drifted, come back. It's the only way to give meaning to your life. A lot of people try to make up their own meaning in their life, try to invent for themselves, this is what I think I should be doing. But what happens to that meaning when we die, when we pass away, when our friends, our family are gone, when people no longer know who we are? Really doesn't mean much when we come up with our own, but there's ultimate meaning, eternal meaning in Jesus Christ. Meaning for life and purpose, direction. And so we also see this in the passage, relying on Jesus for eternal life requires communion with him, with Christ and God the Father through Jesus' flesh and blood. Now I want you to read this. If you have your Bible this morning, open up to John chapter 6. We're going to make some observations here. John chapter 6. And look at what Christ said in verses 60 through 66. Since then the disciples heard it, and they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" You imagine that? Somebody saying, who can listen to Jesus saying what he is saying? Now, I don't think he's talking about his 12 disciples right here. We're going to continue reading and see what happens. But disciples are saying, this is hard. How are we supposed to accept this? You're claiming to be the bread of life, eternal life, through you. You sound as though you're claiming to be God, essentially. It is God in the flesh. Look at verse 61. And Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, he said to them, "Do you take offense at this?" And I think some people would say that everything Jesus said would be not offensive. But Jesus knew the words that he had to say. He knew that they cut deep. And they revealed who we are in our hearts. And he says, "Do you take offense at this?" And then verse 62, "Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending from where he was before?" What if you were to see the Son of God ascending into heaven? Verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life." Listen to this. "And the flesh is no help at all. It's the Holy Spirit who gives life, eternal life." He says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Things I've been saying to you, this is spiritual life. A lot of people saying, "I've got a spiritual life," but Jesus says, "My words are spirit and life." You can't claim to have a spiritual life without him, without his words. He's saying, "My words are the only way to have eternal life, to know the truth, to have a hope of eternity in paradise with God is only in this way." Now, some might look at this and say, you know, Jesus says, "My words are spirit and life." In the original text, there's no capital S or lowercase s for spirit here. God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, comes through and operates by his words. The Holy Spirit is sent, Jesus says, to reveal all truth and to convict sinners of righteousness in John chapter 16. We see the means of the Holy Spirit and his operation to give us eternal life. Now continue reading here. He says, for Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. Jesus knew by teaching his words in the scriptures that at one point these individuals who didn't really believe would leave. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. No other way to the Father except through Christ. And listen to verse 66. And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him, no longer followed him. The words of Christ are very revealing. As we think about them and we contemplate them this morning, we either go one way or the other. We're going to say the words of Christ are too hard. I can't do this. And so we ignore him. We stay away from him. We push him away. Or on the other hand, we hear the words of Christ and we feel drawn to him. We admire him and love him. We want to be closer to him. These are the things we see in the text. Jesus came from heaven. He says that here. If you see the Son of Man ascending from where he came from, he's emphasizing again, yes, I am the bread from heaven. We see that the Spirit gives life. And as we've seen from the context, it's eternal life on the last day of the resurrection. And it's through the words of Jesus Christ that are spirit and life. And we see this, that many did not believe and would betray him and turn back from him. God forbid that be any of us. But Jesus then, he turns to his disciples, to his 12, and asks them, do you believe? Are you going to betray me? This is what we read here in John 6. It says, so Jesus turned to the 12, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. I want you to hear this morning. This confession here within this statement of Peter is meant there for a reason, because we as Christians must be able to say the same thing. Jesus says to us, are you going to go away as well? Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. In other words, you are the Messiah, the Christ. It is your words that are right and true. And many people today, they pick up their Bibles and they read something they don't like and they simply say, I don't want it. They ignore that part of it, or they just put the whole Bible aside. In the Bible, Christ makes this plea to us. If I am the Christ, then my words are spirit and life. We need as Christians to submit to him, to love him, to admire him, and accept that that is true, to see that it's true. A confession of faith is what we have right here, but this confession, any confession of Christ, is an acceptance of his words for eternal life. And you can say this morning, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but some of his words, I don't know. Some of the things in the Bible that he's given to his disciples, because Jesus said he gave his words to his apostles, John 17 and verse 8. And some people think, well, I'll take Jesus, but not the rest of the Bible. Well, you can't do that either, can you? Jesus said the prophets and the law are come from God, and they spoke of him, and they prophesied of him. Well, we can't deny them as well. When we accept Christ, we accept his words. When we accept his words, we accept the words that he gave to his apostles and prophets in the New Testament and Moses and the prophets in the Old Testament. We will not deny it. We will stand right here. We know that the only true spiritual life comes from the words of Christ. I encourage this morning, if you've drifted in your Bible study, come back. Read the words again. Read the scriptures that give you eternal life. And I love this. We see in the scriptures these things here that are adamant from Christ. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. They will never pass away. They will endure until judgment. Jesus revealed that his words will judge the world on that final day. So it does matter what he says. Absolutely, I'm going to follow him. And I think very convicting to me personally, and what I do with the words of Christ right here, Luke chapter 9 and verse 26. Take a look at this. Jesus will be ashamed of those who are ashamed of his words on the day of judgment. Jesus will be ashamed of those who are ashamed of his words on the day of judgment. Stand up, understand the scriptures, defend them, feed on them, allow them to nourish you. The words of Christ compel us. They convict us. They teach us the way that we should go. The words of Christ are the most compelling words you will ever read. Let's go to him and listen to him. Listen to what Christ says. Jesus says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. And he's speaking about his words that he's giving right then. In John chapter 10, 27, 28, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Do you believe that? Our plea to the world is to hear the words of Christ. Hear them now before it's too late. This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you've not been baptized, you're not a Christian yet. If you have not been baptized, you have not been saved yet. The Bible teaches us the point in which we rise up with Christ, we have the newness of life when we're saved and all of our sins are washed away, as when we've been born of the water and the Spirit. And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You want a part in God's kingdom. You want eternal life. We encourage you this morning, listen to the words of Christ. Be baptized, become a Christian, repent of your sins, be immersed and rise to the newness of life. From baptism, the believer rises to newness of life in an expectation of one day rising as Christ rose. Romans 6 and verse 5. This morning, you want to obey the gospel? Do it. We encourage you to do it. You feel like you need to repent and change your life to come closer to God, we encourage you, come forward and let us pray with you or find someone near to you to pray with you this day. I encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.